This is JC202 that I will dictate at 225 words per minute. Perhaps you've opted to challenge this at 225 without doing the one at 200, so I'll give you the same advice as I did previously, that treat this like an RPR test. Don't stop halfway through and make some dictionary entries or give up. Just go for it. Let's begin. When deciding the truthfulness or weight to be given to a witness's evidence, you should consider the opportunity that the witness had to make observations, the ability of the witness to remember what he has seen or heard, and any explanations he may have given for his inability to recall things. It is important for you to assess the ability of the witness to convey to you an accurate picture of what he saw or heard. You should also consider whether the witness at any relevant time was under the influence of alcohol or drugs and whether he was fatigued or distressed. Of equal importance is whether the witness has any interest in the outcome of the trial and whether such interest may have affected the testimony. Consider any bias the witness may have, as well as his demeanor while testifying and the impression which he made on you as to honesty and truthfulness. These are just some of the things you should consider in assessing credibility. In deciding these issues, simply use your good common sense and bring your collective experience from your contact with people into the jury room. Where the Crown seeks to prove an essential element of the offense by circumstantial evidence, the burden of proof is the same. The Crown must prove each and every element of the offense beyond a reasonable doubt. One good test to apply to determine whether you are satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt on circumstantial evidence is whether the guilt of the accused is the only reasonable inference to be drawn from the proven facts. If based on the proven facts any other rational conclusion or inference can be drawn, you have a reasonable doubt. Motive is a reason why somebody does something. Now, the Crown does not have to prove motive, but proof of motive for the commission of an offense may be of assistance in determining whether the accused is guilty or not guilty of the offense charged. It will be for you to decide to what extent, if any, the accused had a motive to kill or cause serious injury to the decedent, and if so, whether motive played any role in his actions. It is for you to decide how much or how little you will rely on motive to help you decide this case. You must consider the issue of motive in the context of all of the evidence. You have heard evidence about the accused's character for being a peacemaker, a loving father, and an honest person. That is the evidence of the accused's mother and daughter. There is little other such evidence going generally to the accused's character. That evidence taken together with the whole of the evidence may help you to decide the accused's guilt. It is for you to decide if the character evidence of the mother and the daughter is of assistance to you in that regard. Good character by itself is not a defense to a charge. However, evidence of the accused's good character is important for you to consider in deciding this case. It may make it less likely that the accused committed the offense charged. It may make it more likely that he acted in self-defense. Evidence of good character alone may sometimes create a reasonable doubt in your minds and lead you to find the accused not guilty. In deciding whether Crown Counsel has proven the guilt of the accused beyond a reasonable doubt or has proven that the accused did not act in self-defense beyond a reasonable doubt, you should consider the good character evidence along with and in the same way as the rest of the evidence. You have also heard much evidence of previous violent conduct by the decedent against the accused and against others. You have heard that the decedent had a reputation for violence and that the accused was aware of that reputation. Consider the evidence that the accused knew of the decedent's violent conduct and reputation when you examine the defense of self-defense. I will now briefly deal with your duties as jurors. It is your duty to consult with one another and to deliberate with a view to reaching a just verdict according to the evidence and the law as I have explained it to you. Each of you must make your own separate decision whether the accused is guilty or not guilty. You should only make this decision after carefully considering the evidence with your fellow jurors, and you should not hesitate to change your mind if you are convinced that your initial impression was wrong. You should only deliberate when you are all together in the jury room. Since this is a criminal trial, you must be unanimous in any verdicts which you return. In other words, it is necessary that each of you agree in whatever verdict you may see fit to return. Unless you are unanimous, you cannot find the accused guilty, and equally, you cannot find him not guilty. While it is very desirable that you reach a unanimous verdict, nevertheless, you have a right to disagree. If after carefully considering the evidence with your fellow jurors, any one of you has a reasonable doubt as to the guilt of the accused, you must obey your conscience and refuse to let yourself be persuaded by your fellow jurors. Let me urge you, however, to make every effort to reach a verdict. You are not involved in the matter of sentencing, so you should not consider the question of penalty or punishment. The clerk will deliver the exhibits and a copy of the indictment to you in the jury room. Please do not begin to deliberate until you have received the exhibits and a copy of the indictment. Technical equipment will be available in the jury room to allow you to replay video recordings if you wish. A member of the court staff will be available to offer technical assistance should it be required. Needless to say, you must not deliberate when this individual is in the jury room. If you have any questions in the course of your deliberations, please send me a note setting out your question. It may be a matter which I will wish to discuss with counsel before providing a reply. Because of this, it may take a short while before I can provide an answer. Please appoint one from amongst you to chair your discussions. He or she will assist you in arriving at your verdict in an orderly and businesslike manner and will report your verdict to the court using the verdict sheet you have been given. While the chair will report the verdict, each of the members of the jury will be asked individually to state their agreement with the verdict reached. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, thank you for your attention. You may now retire. In just a few minutes, you will be able to begin your deliberations. Well, I'm trusting that went well. I think you'd be at liberty now to bump this up using Windows Media Player to a 260 test or 280 test, if you like. Or you could break it down into minute segments as well. Thanks for joining. Bye.